Agot and Erev Shabbos, everyone. We about to begin Bez Hashem, Shir number 196 in Rabbi Tversky's book, Life's Too Short, by pulling the plug on self-defeating behaviors, turning on the power of self-esteem. He explains that to recover from a negative self-image, especially one that has been there for a long time, is a gradual process. It's not always a steadily smooth uphill slope. Eventually you reach the top and you gain that healthy self-confidence, but you always will have some slips along the way. And what's very important to understand, this is a yesod, by the way, what we're telling you now, is not just about the slips you have pertaining to building self-esteem, but slips you have pertaining to when you are trying to do tshuva or do better and fix problems that you had in the past, overcoming some negative tendencies or addictions or past bad patterns in your life and in marriage especially, and you want to correct and do your best. It's a work in progress. And these slips occur very often after a person began to improve. And when, here's the problem, when slips happen after the person begun to improve, which is a remarkable achievement, but that slip is much more painful than the original depressive state that you had. Because it's like falling off a ladder. You know, you stand on the first rung and you fall. The fall won't cause any injury. But the higher you go on the ladder, the more severe the fall is. So same thing over here. If you had that low self-esteem and you build it up, right? If someone more or less had an unhappy state and that's the way they're accustomed to it, it's less painful in a certain weird way. But when you begin to feel a lot better and you see the improvement and you see light at the end of the tunnel, and then there's a recurrence of even a brief depression or brief anxiety or brief slip, it's felt much more sharply. And the key really is not to get derailed by it, but move forward. So the way he explains it is fascinating. You take a piece of thick cardboard and fold it. Fold one corner of this thick cardboard and then straighten out the fold. The cardboard was folded and you'll see there a crease. Okay. So in that crease, that will remain no matter how much you try to flatten out that fold, that crease will be there. And when you bend the cardboard at any other place, you'll encounter some resistance, but at that crease and you bend it, a slight pressure will make the cardboard bend. So the same thing over here, a person who had a negative self-image is left with a crease. And even after years, it's likely to, you'll feel again that feeling of inadequacy. That's important also when you do tshuva on things, that you're vulnerable to that. There's no crime in that and there's no harm in that. Hashem has special love and you're on a very high level because of this, because you're more vulnerable and you take steps towards it and you work through it. Is especially beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So people who, let's say, recover from alcoholism, other chemical dependencies, or other types of addictions, they're vulnerable to relapse. But at the same time, they are aware and they work forward to it and they work through it. If you're aware of this, then you won't hit the panic button when there is some type of slip or relapse. You'll learn how to just adapt and build and, you know, brush off and move forward. And as you gain self-confidence, your performance levels will increase and you'll have new duties. And this is also an issue when you have growth and you're getting healthier and healthier, there's challenges because now you have new responsibilities. A job also, you're doing a great job, they'll throw at you new duties. Or your family expects from you more. Or when you accept new challenges. Right? So just as the cardboard yields to even minimal pressure at that fold, like we just said in the example, any new expectation will have some type of stress and may awaken in you feelings of inadequacy that would have been dormant. That's very, very important. So here's an example that Reb Tversky said. Earlier, I reported a case of a physician who had achieved outstanding scholastic honors, yet had a very poor self-image. Her alcoholism had resulted in her dismissal as a medical director of a health facility. Early in her recovery, she took a part-time job with relatively minimal responsibilities. After several weeks, she encountered some severe stresses, I suggested that she discuss it with her AA sponsor. Several weeks later, she again reported to be in crisis, and I gave her the same advice. I inquired how the previous crisis had been resolved, and she stated it had been trivial, but this time she was really in a real severe crisis. The calls recurred every few weeks with identical pattern. What had been a major crisis several weeks earlier had been easier resolved, but this time it was major. Now, in a therapeutic interview, I pointed out this pattern to the physician. As she performed successfully at work, new demands were constantly being made of her. No one asks someone who is functioning poorly to do more, but people who perform well are likely to be asked to increase their functioning. Each new demand resurrected her self-doubts and constituted a crisis. But with the help of her sponsor, each hurdle to overcome and allowing her to function at a higher level and then led to increased expectations resulted in a very positive but stressful cycle. So just to explain this a little more, by the way, so for all of you that are employees that do a good job and then you do more and then you get promoted, it's healthy. It's actually a good thing. Now, sometimes it goes overboard and you're taking the responsibility of two people, then yeah, you have a right to create borders and tell your employer, you know, you're expecting too much and this is the limit and, you know, I need help. You get me an assistant, whatever it may be. That's true. So you don't have to go overboard to the point where you're totally overflooded. But in a normal way, the progression of getting to higher functionality and growing is a beautiful thing, but it creates more stress because there's more responsibilities. So what I'm trying to say over here is as you grow, build your self-esteem and you function more or did tshuva on things and now you're doing so, so much better. And then something happens and there's a slip, a relapse or a worry or a crease that folded, like we said. And then you fall all the way, spiral downward and you say, it's felt very sharply. You know, someone who had, let's say, 2 months of clean days of not slipping into anything, and then after 60 whole clean days, they fall, it's very, very painful. And the Yetzer Hara will try to say, it was all nothing, and the whole, you didn't really change, you're still a nobody, and you'll spiral down with those thoughts. Instead, you fight that. You say, no, I accomplished great. I grew. This was a slip like falling off the ladder that I'm picking up, but I could go very quickly back up to where I was and go further. That is the key. Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. Don't get despair. Don't feel despair as you move forward. Now, he says a fascinating instruction. We may have said this before, how lobsters grow to teach you this lesson. A lobster is encased in a hard, unyielding shell, and it grows until the shell becomes too restrictive and too stifling. So this lobster, this is part of nature. Hashem created it in their teva. It's unbelievable. They retreat to a sheltered space under a rock or something, sheds its shell, and forms a new one. First of all, they're very vulnerable in that state because from attackers, but they do this. The process is repeated numerous times until the lobster achieves their maximum size. Now, every time the lobster sheds its shell, in this, even if they're retreating safely under a rock, it's a mercy at sudden currents of water or predatory fish. The outer shell was their protective armor, and they temporarily lose that armor, and they become vulnerable. But in order to grow, the lobster must take these risks. So lobster lovers, he tells them, that they should be grateful that lobsters don't go to the doctors. Because if the lobster would go to the doctor, when they have discomfort, there, my shell's bothering me, right? So the lobster would get a prescription or a tranquilizer. And instead of shedding its shell and growing, it would eliminate this discomfort with the medication and would remain in that tiny shell, and then it would die from suffocation. That's not the healthy approach. The healthy approach is to deal with that discomfort and grow. It's similar. We had this mushel before. We had a cocoon. You have the caterpillar in a cocoon struggling to get out of the cocoon and to become a butterfly. And once a child saw this, saw the cocoon, the caterpillar in the cocoon pushing its way, pushing, trying to get out of the cocoon. And the child had mercy on it and felt bad and took a scissor and cut through the cocoon and allowed the butterfly to come out. The problem is that the butterfly was unable to fly because it needed that energy of pushing against the cocoon for the fluid in the wings to go through all the wings to be able to fly. And because this child, with its mercy, cut the cocoon early, and the butterfly came out, but that fluid did not reach its wings, and it cannot fly. It needs to struggle to get out to grow. All of us, it's the same way. We need to struggle in order to grow, not to get this feel despair. This coming out of our comfort zone, we have to do it. If it's too overwhelming and it's too hard to go right away, jump into something really different, you take those baby steps, but you stick to them. You really take those steps and you move forward. So when you're feeling emotionally uncomfortable, think that that may be a possible signal that you're ready for a growth spurt. You're ready to grow. You may indeed get relief from a chemical or medication, but it may stifle further growth. Now, I'm not knocking when you really, really need it in certain situations, but in many situations you don't, and there's an overuse, and you just need to deal with that discomfort, deal with that, you know, hurt, whatever feeling you're feeling, and move forward. And sometimes you speak to a counselor or a rav or a mentor or a therapist, and they'll put things in perspective. And a relapse could often be averted or be less of a relapse, and the growth will occur. So people who maintain contact with self-help groups and other things, it really would help that when someone slips, to help you cope with that slip, to help you cope with that resistance that you're feeling, not be falling into a despair when a slip, when you're growing, happens. Not to allow that to happen. To just continue to move on and grow further after any type of slip and bounce back and grow and thrive. Bracha v'atzlacha.